Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick. And with me today, I have Julie Kutuzov, Portfolio Manager of the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Small Cap Quality Value Strategy. Welcome back, Julie.
Hello, Ben. Happy to be here.
Julie, the start of 2026 has not been for the faint of heart. We are continuing to see increased volatility on a daily basis, influenced by geopolitical risks, as well as AI and its potential long-term influence, whilst also seeing risk gauges like high yield spreads remaining at historically lower levels. Can you give your view of market performance in the first quarter and its impact on the strategy's relative performance?
Sure. Investors started the year with a great deal of optimism, driven by a more favorable macroeconomic environment and outlook. Interest rates had been coming down, lowering borrowing costs for both businesses and consumers. Earnings growth had remained strong and was expected to be helped further by proposed tax cuts. Consumer spending, the key driver of the U.S. economy, had proven surprisingly resilient. The job market had been cooling, and the tariff situation, albeit uncertain, had not significantly impacted the rate of inflation. Then came February 28th, when the U.S. and Israel launched a series of strikes in Iran. Oil prices surged, and supply chains for a variety of other vital commodities like aluminum and urea that is used in fertilizers were disrupted, driving up prices, raising the prospect of high inflation, and reducing the near-term probability of further interest rate cuts. The Russell 2000 value benchmark ended the quarter up 5%, primarily driven by the energy sector that at the quarter end represented a nearly 10% weight in the index and was up over 43%. Other asset-heavy segments such as industrials and materials also posted high returns as investors looked for companies that would be harder for artificial intelligence to disrupt. The quarter was a challenging environment for us as investors in high-quality companies. Names with negative earnings, representing an over 20% weight in the Russell 2000 Value Index, were strong contributors to the benchmark's performance. We shy away from capital intensity and direct commodity exposure. As such, our exposure to the energy and materials sectors is typically limited. During the quarter, we did not have any energy holdings, and our exposure to the materials sector was comprised of just one holding. We expect to underperform in this type of environment. While disappointed, we don't see this underperformance as a reflection of the portfolio's underlying earnings growth. We project growth of our companies over a full economic cycle and continue to believe that high-quality companies outperform over the long term.
Julie, can you discuss a few of the strategy's holdings that were standout detractors and contributors to performance for the first quarter?
Houlihan Lokey, ticker HLI, was our weakest performer this quarter. Other detractors included JBT Marel Corporation, ticker JBTM, Thor Industries, ticker THO, Armstrong World Industries, ticker AWI, and CSW Industrials, ticker CSW. Houlihan Lokey is a leading global independent investment bank with expertise in mergers and acquisitions, capital markets, and financial and valuation advisory. The company's clients include governments, middle market private and public companies, and financial sponsors. Shares lagged along with those of other investment banks, primarily driven by investor concerns over weakness in the private credit and private equity markets. We see this issue as temporary and continue to admire Houlihan's leading position in the attractive global middle market segment. RBC Bearings, ticker RBC, and UniFirst Corporation, ticker UNF, were our highest stock contributors for the quarter. Other top contributors were Cheesecake Factory, ticker Cake, Getty Realty, ticker GTY, and Leinster System, ticker LSTR. RBC Bearings is a leading manufacturer of highly engineered specialty bearings, serving a broad range of industries. shares performed strongly, driven by robust demand in their space and defense segments. UniFirst Corporation is one of the largest providers of uniform rental services in North America. Shares rose sharply in mid-March following the announcement of the company's acquisition by a larger competitor.
Julie, can you talk about the impact of the invasion of Iran and the spike in oil prices on the strategy, both directly and indirectly?
Needless to say, much will depend on the duration and the outcome of the conflict, a big unknown. In terms of the direct impact, we're already seeing it, with the lack of exposure to the energy sector hurting the strategy's performance in the first quarter. As it relates to the indirect, broader impact, there are several aspects to consider. As I mentioned earlier, it wasn't just oil, as supply chains for a variety of other commodities have also been disrupted, raising the prospect of high inflation and reducing the near-term probability of Fed rate cuts. Consumer spending, the key driver of the U.S. economy, already under pressure following a prolonged inflationary period, is facing a risk of a pullback on discretionary spending to offset higher gasoline prices. There is an ongoing debate about how this oil shock may affect U.S. monetary and fiscal policy. Some argue that oil prices have a more limited impact on the U.S. economy than in the past due to a significant increase in domestic production. The greatest fear is that a prolonged conflict and increasing oil prices could lead to a period of stagflation. From a portfolio perspective, the impact would likely differ over time. In the near term, we would expect the portfolio to decline alongside the broader market and potentially lag due to our limited exposure to the energy sector. In addition, our companies tend to delay price increases due to uncertainty around the duration of cost pressures, resulting in a near-term margin lag. That said, equity markets are inherently forward-looking and tend to react quickly to changes in expectations. Recent market behavior illustrates this dynamic, with even modest signs of conflict de-escalation triggering equity rallies. Importantly, over the long term, our high-quality businesses have historically demonstrated resilience during challenging economic times, including inflationary and high interest rate environments, due to their leading market positioning, strong pricing power, solid balance sheets, and lower capital intensity.
Julie, can you discuss any holdings within the strategy where AI obsolescence fear has had an impact on performance and why you continue to hold them?
The AI threat and opportunity framework is certainly top of mind for us as we monitor existing and analyze potential portfolio names. At this time, we do not see any AI-driven obsolescence risk for our current holdings. Earlier, I mentioned Houlihan Lokey, our bottom contributor for the quarter. Shares declined partly due to investor concerns over AI disruption, potentially affecting mergers and acquisitions markets, primarily in the software segment. As long-term investors, we view such disruption as temporary and continue to admire Houlihan's highly protectable position in the attractive middle market segment. You mentioned logistics. One of our holdings is Landstar System, a leading asset-light provider of freight transportation services and supply chain solutions. Shares declined in mid-February, along with those of transportation industry peers, driven by investor concerns that AI could potentially disrupt the traditional logistics brokerage business model. We believe that Landstar is protected by the company's deep relationships with shippers and focus on the more complex freight segment, such as heavy haul, hazardous materials, cross-border, and multimodal that AI struggles with. At the same time, the company is not standing still, actively developing its internal artificial intelligence capabilities. Note that the shares have since recovered, with the company being among our top contributors for the first quarter.
Julie, would you say your strategy has greater exposure to companies implementing AI versus pure play hardware exposure? If so, why?
Yes, absolutely. The majority of our companies are incorporating AI in their products, and some have a portion of their revenues coming from the AI ecosystem, with their products being used in data centers, for example. But we do not currently have any holdings in that pure-play AI hardware category. First of all, the AI ecosystem is inherently young. And while most established larger cap players exhibit solid profitability and free cash flow generation, the majority of these companies in the small and mid-cap space are relatively nascent, many of them unprofitable. Secondly, as I mentioned, we shy away from capital intensity that is inherent in the build-out of AI capabilities, with revenue generation opportunities often lagging sizable capital investments. Put it simply, we're not willing to sacrifice our high-quality investment discipline chasing growth.
Julie, do you think quality companies who are incorporating AI into their business will be able to increase profitability greater than commodity companies in the future?
Absolutely. The majority of our companies are incorporating AI in their operations in some form. Some, particularly those in technology segments, tend to be farther ahead, and most are already seeing tangible benefits in terms of internal productivity enhancement and improved customer-facing capabilities. While AI represents a powerful efficiency tool for all players, it will be those companies with differentiated protectable business models that, unlike commodity businesses, will be able to leverage these efficiencies while preserving pricing power.
Julie, can you speak about the potential impact of weakness in the private equity and credit markets on the strategy, if any?
Sure. Weakness in the private credit and private equity markets often acts as a leading indicator for public equities, as these markets are most sensitive to liquidity and rising cost of capital. There is a growing concern that private credit has overextended loans to software companies, many of which are vulnerable to the AI disruption. With private equity firms delaying exits, the mergers and acquisitions market activity has slowed, hurting performance of investment banks, such as Houlihan Lokey mentioned earlier. Regional and community banks in our portfolio may see increased competition from private funds for both loans and deposits in their bread-and-butter small mid-sized business segment. In addition, banks' commercial real estate borrowers may find it more challenging to access rescue capital, so-called bridge loans, thus increasing the risk of loan default. We tend to be particularly selective in our bank holdings, with a long track record of solid underwriting discipline being paramount to us in our investment decisions.
Julie, what types of changes were made in the portfolio?
If you are asking about structural changes, none. We continue to adhere to our high-quality investment philosophy and are constantly working on enhancing portfolio's quality, growth, and value characteristics through both new purchases and existing holdings. During the quarter, we executed a number of such trades, in some of this, taking advantage of broader market dynamics discussed earlier.
Lastly, Julie, can you describe where you see the benefits of holding this strategy versus a passive strategy over the medium term?
We believe that the benefits of an active strategy focused on highest quality companies are particularly evident today, driven by increased complexity, be it due to the rapid AI proliferation, growing geopolitical uncertainty, or a potentially higher for longer interest rate environment. In our view, managing risk at the company level by focusing on fundamentals, durable business models, self-funding ability, strong balance sheets, disciplined capital allocation is paramount today. We believe that our high-quality investment philosophy, in-depth fundamental research process, focused high-conviction portfolios, and active portfolio management are particularly relevant in this environment.
Julie, as always, thanks for taking the time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
Thanks, Ben.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Cane Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of Carr or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by Carr to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. Carr does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.